D-Mace, Finn, Ginn, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Derek Mason, Adam Bingen, David Janes here with you. Willie Donick out today, but you can catch Willie Donick later when the Nashville Predators wrap up their back-to-back on the road in Columbus against the Blue Jackets. Puck drop at 6, pregame at 5, right here on 102.5, 106.3, the game. You can watch Willie Donick over at FanDuel Sports Network, or you can watch the animated broadcast that Max Herz and Chris Mason are doing. It also starts at 6 o'clock on News Channel 5.
Oh, that's going to be so cool.
Called Music City Hockey in Smashville, an animated game. So that is, again, tonight at 6 o'clock on News Channel 5. You've probably seen the NFL do some of these games. The NHL has done some of these games. My son likes them. If you have little ones, I would highly recommend you tune into News Channel 5 tonight at 6 for this animated game called by Max Herz and Chris Mason. Speaking of the Predators, because I'm in such a giving mood this morning,
okay,
be caller number 4 at 615-737-1025. Our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Be caller number 4, and you will win a pair of tickets to see the Nashville Predators host the Montreal Canadiens on Sunday. Puck drop is at 6. So caller number 4, 615-737-1025, will win a pair of tickets to see the Predators take on the Canadiens this Sunday at Bridgestone Arena at 6 o'clock. How are you today, Derek?
Hey, I'm doing wonderful, man. I had to fix my headphones. I had to tape them back up. You know, I know people are probably wondering, well, tape them back up? What do you mean? Just go buy another pair? No, I'm not that guy. I will roll with these things till I can't roll with them no more. The wire has to be basically hanging off for me to go get some new headphones. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to jimmy rig it. You know, I'm going to pull a MacGyver. I am going to use as much tape as I possibly can. And when it breaks, the tape comes off. You know what I'm going to do, Adam? Clean it and put some more tape on there.
I used to keep my, back in my teenage years when I fancied myself as a skateboarder. I wasn't very good at it, but I fancied myself
as
a skateboarder.
As long as you fancied yourself.
Yeah, if I got a little rip in my Van slip-ons, duct tape those suckers up.
There you go.
And they were disgusting by the end. I think my mom threw them away in the middle of the night one time because she wanted to get rid of them so badly. So I understand how important it is to tape things up. Mm-hmm. So one thing that we have not seen in the NFL this year, we have not seen a trade involving a first-round pick. And I saw this last week, maybe actually a couple of weeks ago, from Adam Schefter. According to ESPN, this is the closest to the start of the NFL draft in which there have been no trades for first-round picks since 1993, when 5 days before that year's draft, the Chiefs traded a first-round pick to the 49ers for Joe Montana. So this is the closest to the start of the draft in which there have been no trades for first-round picks since 1993. And we're all waiting for trades. We love trades. Mm-hmm. We love pretending to come up with trades. It's all about trades. Trades, trades, trades. So luckily for us, Bill Barnwell at ESPN.com wrote a story that was published yesterday. The 2025 NFL mock draft with all trades. So this is something that Bill Barnwell does every year, it seems like, where he does a mock trade for every pick in the NFL draft.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one thing that he notes is that for 32 picks, he has 32 trades occurring in 32 different universes. The trade he projects with the number one pick doesn't take place in the universe in which the number two pick gets traded on and on. The goal, according to Barnwell, is to capture a scenario that might compel a team to make a move on draft day. Mm-hmm. He uses the Jimmy Johnson trade chart, which NFL teams use to communicate the value of potential picks with one another. So he's also taking into account the draft history of established GMs who have used their capital to inform their decisions, although those paths are murkier than they were with prior generations of executives, so on and so forth. So, of course, he starts with the number one pick, mm-hmm. which, as we know, is currently owned by your Tennessee Titans. And I'm going to read to you the trade proposal that he has. He explains it afterwards. But, Derek, I'm just going to read to you the trade that he has. And you tell me, just based on what you hear, mm-hmm. if you would take it, okay? His trade is a three-way trade between the Tennessee Titans, mm-hmm. the Atlanta Falcons, and the Cleveland Browns. So in this hypothetical trade, the Titans would receive the number two pick in the draft. Mm-hmm. So they would trade with the Browns and move down one spot. They would get the number two pick in the draft. They would receive a third-round pick, number 67 overall, a 2026 second-round pick from the Browns, mm-hmm. and Kirk Cousins from the Falcons. So they would move down one spot, have the second overall pick instead of the first overall pick. Mm-hmm. They would get a third-round pick, which they do not have, a second-round pick next year, mm-hmm. and Kirk Cousins. The Falcons would receive a 2026 seventh-round pick from the Titans. The Browns would get the number one overall pick and a sixth round pick next year from the Titans. So just based on that information, mm-hmm. would you do it?
I would think about it from this standpoint. Why is Cleveland, if I still want a quarterback, a young quarterback in this draft, I can move out of number one spot. Why is Cleveland moving to the number one spot? Why do they want to move? Is it because they are afraid that I'm going to draft, because I get the pick of the litter, you know, I'm going to draft Hunter, like fool everybody and draft either Hunter or Abdul Carter, because they may want one of these guys. So if they are afraid of that, they move up with me, they get their guy. I may still be able to get the quarterback that I want, or I can potentially, as we go forward, I can move down again, but that's not a part of this trade. But I get it. That's my concern. If I want a quarterback in this draft high and I can still get a quarterback in this draft high, I do it. I don't know if I can take Kirk Cousins' salary. I don't know if I can do that. He's a quarterback on the downside of his career, and it's quickly. He's coming off a season where it was not good. The second half, so much so that they benched him. He's having issues. He just came off an Achilles, and now it's his shoulder or his elbow, something like that. He has too many problems. He has three things working against him. Why I wouldn't do it? Because of Kirk Cousins. He's getting older. He's coming off injury, and he's making too much money.
So here is how Bill Barnwell explains why he made this trade. He writes in part, quote, "The Titans appear to be leaning toward drafting a quarterback, given their only addition under center this offseason has been veteran Brandon Allen. Cam Ward seems to have separated himself from Shedeur Sanders, but it's tough to find a consensus in the league that he's anything close to a no-doubt solution. There are superstars available at critical positions elsewhere in this draft, and the Titans aren't one player away from competing." What if they're bluffing? What if the Titans aren't sure about Ward and have more confidence in adding Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter? Instead of adding Ward to solve their quarterback problem, what if there's a veteran who could step in under center in the short term while they wait to find a prospect they like? The purpose of bluffing, this answers one of your questions, mm-hmm. the purpose of bluffing would be to get the Browns to pay up for the privilege of ensuring that they'll get Ward. This played out in 2017 when the 49ers had no intention of drafting Mitch Trubisky with the second overall pick. They still convinced the Bears they were willing to trade the pick to someone else who wanted Trubisky and landed two third-round picks and a fourth-rounder for moving down to number three. So here, Barnwell writes, the Browns send a third-round pick and their second-rounder in 2026 to move up one spot, and they get a sixth-round pick in next year's draft. It's a similar premium to what the Bears paid to move up one spot for Trubisky. Cleveland won't want to sacrifice picks, but when a franchise quarterback is involved, teams usually don't let a stray selection or two stand in the way of getting a deal done. And now here's the part about mm-hmm. Kirk Cousins. Barnwell writes, quote, the Falcons would unload their wildly expensive backup quarterback in Cousins, whose $10 million roster bonus for 2026 was guaranteed earlier this month. With Cousins due $37.5 million between his 2025 base salary and 2026 bonus, the Falcons would eat $25 million to get this deal done, saving them the remaining $12.5 million. They would also get a day three pick, which would seem generous since they clearly have no use for Cousins. The rules for underwater quarterback contracts, however, are different than the rules for players at every other position. Barnwell, this is a longer article, but we'll conclude here. As for the Titans, if they aren't interested in Ward or Sanders, Cousins allows them to take a shot on the quarterback who was playing reasonably well before he suffered a midseason shoulder injury. Through week 9, he ranked 12th in total QBR, nestled between Matthew Stafford and Jared Goff. He was averaging nearly 8 yards per attempt and had thrown 17 touchdown passes against 7 picks. Cousins would be a rental for 2025 and potentially 2026, who buys the Titans some time to land on a better long-term solution than Ward. So now that you've heard the explanation from Barnwell, does that change your mind at all?
No, it doesn't, because he basically, at the end of the article, well, at the end of what you read, he basically, you know, he's making my argument why I don't want this trade, at least not with Kirk Cousins as a package. Shoulder injury, mid-season shoulder injury. Oh, he didn't mention the Achilles the year before. Again, he's telling me that he's making too much money, and I understand that there is a difference between a running back getting older and having these injuries, or wide receiver, as opposed to a quarterback. The quarterback's going to get bumped up more. He's going to get overvalued a little bit more because of what you can do from that position and what he has shown in his career. But he made my argument. The shoulder injury, he didn't mention the Achilles injury, and he has a enormous contract. I don't want to touch it. Why do I want to touch that? Now, if he seems more on a downcline, now if I get him, he has these same shoulder injuries 3 games in. Now I'm stuck with him. This is where I think bad franchises makes situations even worse. When you don't have a quarterback and you haven't had a quarterback and you've been wallowing in this place of just badness around your organization. So you're trying so hard that you go out and you overpay for a injured, aging quarterback. Ask the Jets what that brought them. And I get it. He wasn't injured before he got there. But ask them what that brought them. It didn't bring them much. You know, you can go down the line with other teams bringing in quarterbacks that had been injured the previous season. It doesn't look good. So because he's a part of this, I don't want to touch it. He's an expiring, aging, high-priced quarterback that his best days are far behind him.
So we'll continue.
And I love Kirk Cousins.
I know you do. Go green, go white.
Exactly.
I hear you. So this was the proposed hypothetical trade from Bill Barnwell on ESPN.com. We'll get your reaction just after I read the trade once again. And I want to hear from all of you at 615-737-1025. If you would do this, if you were Mike Borgonzi, you would trade the number one overall pick down one spot to the Browns. So you would have the second overall pick. The Browns would take the number one overall pick. You would get a third round pick, which you don't have, a 2026 second round pick, and Kirk Cousins. The Falcons would get a seventh round pick in 2026 for being involved in this. The Browns would get the first overall pick and a 2026 sixth round pick from the Titans. So let us know, 615-737-1025. One texter says, Cousins sucks. His arm is gone. I'd rather watch Levis than old man Kirk. I would sign Flacco before trading for Cousins.
Hey, listen, if you're just talking about pure arm talent right now, then I am going Joe Flacco. He hasn't had the injuries. And he doesn't have this enormous price tag, you know, hanging from him either. So is he Kirk Cousins, you know, year in and year out? No, he's not. His numbers don't bear it out. But his arm is still live. He hasn't been dealing with any injury. And yes, he's older. I believe he may be right around the same age as Kirk Cousins. I think Joe's close to 40, if not 40.
Kirk Cousins is 36. Yeah. Flacco is 40.
Yeah, so Joe's a little bit older. But because of your elbow injury, because of your Achilles injury, you and Joe may just be on the same plane. So I'm going with the guy with the live arm before I go with Kirk Cousins.
Barnwell writes, while moving down, the Titans would ensure themselves an elite prospect at one of the most expensive positions in football. With the Browns moving up for a quarterback, Tennessee would be ensured its pick of the rest of the draft with Carter and Hunter as the potential targets. Carter would immediately become their best edge rusher and give the Titans an actual position of strength along their defensive line with Jeffrey Simmons and Tavondre Sweat, forming an excellent tackle duo. Hunter would start at cornerback across from L'Jarius Sneed and afford the Titans the ability to play man coverage more often in 2025. With little on the depth chart after Calvin Ridley, Hunter would also see reps at wide receiver. He writes, Barnwell, of course, is this likely? Of course not. The Titans let backup quarterback Mason Rudolph leave and signed pass rusher Draymond Jones to a one-year deal to replace Harold Landry, which suggests that they're likely targeting Ward at number one. Even if they weren't taking Ward, the Browns might not take the bait. The Falcons are telling everyone who will listen that they want to keep Cousins. Again, I would be surprised if the Titans traded out of the top spot. I would just be less surprised than just about any other year.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I've said this before. I think the Titans are they are resolute if they, you know, with Cam Ward. I think they believe in their mind, if nobody wants to draft out of this, I mean, if nobody wants to trade, we'll draft Cam Ward. Plain and simple. We're good with that. So, you know, anything outside of, one of these deals you can't refuse, I think this is a deal you can refuse if I'm the Titans. I think this is a deal that you would say, nah, that's okay. Thank you, but no, thank you. We're drafting Cam Ward. I think you would have to come with a little bit more in order for the Titans to come off that spot. And that's just me. I haven't heard anything from anyone else, but I just believe that in order to get that number one pick, if you are that hellbound on drafting Cam Ward, if you and your organization have come to a consensus on Cam Ward's the guy, then you need to show me. You need to show me a move up. If not, we'll take him.
If I recall correctly, last week, Charles Robinson, when he was on with Robbie and Rexrow, Charles Robinson, the Yahoo Sports NFL insider, said that the Titans' asking price for the number one pick with the Giants is at least three first-round picks or something of that value.
What does that – if indeed that is true, three first-round picks, who's going to give that up?
I personally can't think of anybody unless the Giants are incredibly desperate. Mm-hmm. But then again, the Giants just signed Jameis Winston and Russell Wilson. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean that they're not going to draft a quarterback with the third overall pick. Mm-hmm. Shedeur Sanders could still land in New York with Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston. And don't forget, of course, about Tommy DeVito. But I'm thinking of the remaining teams mm-hmm. who could realistically make that trade. And I feel like I've heard the Saints a lot recently. I believe the Saints have the ninth pick in the NFL draft. They still have Derek Carr, mm-hmm. but that feels like a stopgap. So it feels like if you're going to go from 9 to 1, it may take a significant deal like that, but I can't imagine, at least right now, mm-hmm. a team willing to pay that price that Charles Robinson laid out.
And I say that because, listen, if you have something that somebody else wants, or say, if let's just say, you know, you and a wife, y'all got invited to a dinner, and you cool with going to the dinner, but you really don't want to go, but you know she don't want to go. you going to ask her because you know her answer is going to be no. So it's like, we can go, but I'm going to ask the missus if, because her word means a lot. So if we don't go, then I'm cool. But if she said, let's go, then I'm good. So she can never say, well, you didn't want to go to the dinner. You didn't want to go with my friends. So you're giving her the opportunity, you know, to sort of make the decision. That's what the Titans are doing here. They're going to make it, they're going to put it at a point where you make the decision. You tell us, because we're good. We'll go or we'll take them. But you tell us. You tell us how you really feel about them. If you say you're not giving up the three first-rounders, then okay, I keep it. But if you're willing to give up the three first-rounders, then okay, here you go. And now we can dance. We can go and dance. We can have fun. But if you're not willing to give it up, I take it. So it's like you're putting something out there that you know no one will accept, but no one can ever say, well, he didn't throw it out there, because you know what the decisions they're going to make. I'm asking for three first-round picks. I know no one in this year's NFL draft is going to give that up. So I'm going to make that very loud, or I'm going to leak it out, because I know ain't nobody going to give it up. So I'm going to keep the pick, and I'm going to draft Cam Ward. I think that could, if indeed that is true, that is what the Titans are putting out. And that may not have been a good analogy, but I rolled with it. I just kept it going. But if that is indeed the case, then I'm going to make sure I allow that to get out, because then that will tell me if someone is desperate enough to pick up that phone and say, you know what? I heard you're willing to give up the spot for three first-round picks. Here you go. But if you don't do that, I'm cool. But I know you're not going to do that. So I'm telling my fans, this is what I want. Nobody wanted to give it to me, so I'm going to draft Cam Ward.
615-737-1025, your thoughts on the mock trade proposed by Bill Barnwell at ESPN.com involving the Titans, the Browns, and the Falcons, where basically the Titans move down one spot to number two, the Browns move up one spot to number one, and the Falcons give Kirk Cousins to the Titans to be their short-term quarterback. 615-737-1025. I also just want to know that I've been shamed out of into removing my hood after I saw David James's tweet makes me look like Rick Moranis from Spaceballs.
Yeah. No. I didn't make you look like that. You made yourself look like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
I didn't realize that my hood was so billowy. But after I saw that picture, I'm not putting my hood back up. 615-737-1025. Someone who does not look like Lord Dark Helmet from Spaceballs. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, will join us coming up next. We'll get back into the quarterback discussion. But before we do that, tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Sounds take on Gwinnett. Pre-game begins at 2:50. First pitch is at 3:05. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. D-Mace, Fingen, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingen joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. By Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, who has been all over my television lately. Tim getting a lot of well-deserved television time. Thank you, my friend, for not big-timing us here on D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick.
They work around your schedule. You know that, right? That's how this works.
We appreciate that. So I heard you yesterday on NFL Live. You've mentioned this on our show as well. Your comp on Shedeur Sanders being in that Andy Dalton range. And when we've talked about that, we brought it up yesterday. I think a lot of football fans hear that and they have this sort of visceral reaction, like, Andy Dalton? You don't want to use a top draft pick on someone who could be Andy Dalton, despite, as you've laid out, the successful longevity that Andy Dalton has had as an NFL quarterback. My question to you is, when you make that comparison, as you did yesterday on NFL Live, when you talk to your colleagues about it, when you talk to people around the league about it, what reaction do you get from them?
I think that people understand the comparison. Now, I would also say, like, I think that reaction is very different than, like, the reaction that my phone was indicating. and I say that, like, look, if anyone listened to everything I said yesterday, like, they would realize, like, when I say Andy Dalton, it's a compliment. Andy Dalton, I think, is in year 17. Andy Dalton, you know, took an organization to the playoffs, I think, four different times. Andy Dalton has thrown over 250 touchdowns. Like, I just remember making a comparison one time on Teddy Bridgewater, and I said, look, I think his upside, like his full upside, is Alex Smith. And it was like, how dare you, like, disrespect Teddy Bridgewater like that? And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, are you kidding me? Like, Teddy Bridgewater, and even today, Teddy Bridgewater would love to have had Alex Smith's career. So, you know, I do think something, like, sometimes what happens in this comparison is that, like, every, you know, offensive tackle that maybe people think is a first rounder, like, they're not all Jonathan Ogden. Like, they're not. Like, some of them need to be Jeff Backus. You're like, who's Jeff Backus? It's like, well, the Lions drafted him in the first round, and he played tackle for, like, a decade for him. And, like, is he going to end up with a gold jacket? No. But was he a really good player for them? Yeah. And you know what else he wasn't? He wasn't a bust. So, like, you know, when I say what I say about Andy Dalton, like, or Shedeur Sanders, like, and I actually think there's a decision to be made. Now, I think this is what you were alluding to. Does it make sense to draft Andy Dalton with a third overall pick? Like, you know, you didn't win a Super Bowl. You're really talking about rarefied air, right, when you're talking about the top of round one. But, listen, Mac Jones was a first-round pick, top three pick. Trey Lance was a top three pick. Like, how about if you just got a guy that you knew could play? Like, would he stabilize the position for you for a decade and lead you to the postseason? Would you take that? Like, I think some teams would.
So Shedeur Sanders, Tim, is a fascinating prospect to me just because of the wide-ranging opinions on him. I know your colleague at ESPN, Jeremy Fowler, had a report over the weekend where he mentioned that he had, I think, canvassed maybe a half a dozen NFL talent evaluators, and four of them said that they did not have a first-round grade on Shedeur Sanders. I'm wondering if you think that we could see a Aaron Rodgers-type slide in this draft for Shedeur Sanders, and what the conditions would have to be in the draft for Shedeur Sanders to fall that far.
Yeah, I definitely think that that could happen. What I would say is it would really be just determined by, like, look, Andy Dalton, let's use Andy Dalton as the comp. The Andy Dalton was not a first-round draft pick, not because he was not a really good quarterback at TCU, and not because he wasn't, like, a pretty good athlete. Like, Andy Dalton, like, Cincinnati ran zone read stuff with him before it was, like, an in-vogue thing in the NFL. So, like, the conditions would be people are looking at Shedeur Sanders and saying he's smart, he knows how to play the position, I think he can play at this level. But, like, there are all these other players that are really gifted, and just, like, physically the traits are exactly what you're looking for. And, look, Jackson Dart is going to have traits that are more impressive. Look, Tyler Shuck from Louisville is going to have more impressive traits. So, you know, the conditions would be, look, Cam Ward goes one to the Titans. You know, the Browns say, you know, we're not drafting a quarterback at two. The Giants either say, look, we're not taking a quarterback at this high at three. And so now you get into, like, you're falling deeper into, you know, like 9, 10, 11, 12 range. You start looking at teams, are they quarterback needy or not? So, look, could I see it happen? Yeah. Look, I think Titans fans probably remember, like, what Will Levis went through, what Malik Willis went through. Like, it happens often, just – it's a super high-profile player we're talking about.
Tim Hasselbeck joining us on D-Maze, Fingan, and Donick. Tim, you're one of your other colleagues at ESPN, Matt Miller. Speaking of comps, he said he thinks Cam Ward's player comparison is Jordan Love, highlighting the arm strength and the playmaking ability, among other things. Do you agree with Matt Miller on that? Do you see some Jordan Love and Cam Ward?
I think some. That I can't say that I, like, if you would have asked me, like, I'd be like, like, I don't know. That's not probably, I think in some ways, just like ability to throw the football, talent to throw the football, I get it. And, you know, Jordan Love, I think, moved better, you know, when you looked at him playing college. And not that Cam Ward doesn't move well, but, like, he just, in terms of frame and physique and, you know, kind of twitchiness, you know, I don't have them necessarily similar. But I do think from ability to make throws that, you know, that I would say is, you know, well above average in terms of not average, but like an elite trait. Yeah, I think they both possess that when you watch them play in college, for sure.
We'll talk with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach of the Ensworth Tigers. Now, Tim, let's go back to this, you know, your comparison of Cam Ward and Andy Dalton. He's more so Andy Dalton, but not just really that, but if you would take that with the number one pick. And yeah. Usually that guy is a guy that's going to sort of push your organization. I get that. But I look back in prior years, whether it was Jim Plunkett, who started with New England. I think Jim was the number one overall pick, somewhere around
there. I think you're right. Yep. Yeah.
He started with New England. Then he went to San Fran. But we know him from where? Oakland. So to me, Jim Plunkett was a good quarterback. But maybe he was one of those quarterbacks that needed to be surrounded with good talent, too. There are quarterbacks that can elevate teams, and there are quarterbacks that just do their job efficiently, and you add people around them, and away we go. Jalen Hurts. You look at, the Lions quarterback. Yeah, go ahead.
Let me ask you about this quarterback. Yeah, so like Jared Goff, what category would you put Matt Ryan in?
Matt Ryan would be, as far as elite quarterbacks, not elite quarterbacks.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, hey, he's really good.
Yes.
Drafting him high, surrounds him with the right talent. Like, what do you think?
I would draft him number one.
Yeah, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm sort of leading to. Matthew Stafford, same guy, drafted number one. He took his team to a couple playoffs, one or two, but it wasn't until he went to L.A. where they surrounded him with a team, and he just let his talent go. So, So I'm not sure that the Titan fan base, and tell me if this is what you're sort of seeing too. I don't think the Titan fan base understands that sometimes, not all of them, but some, that getting a good quarterback sometimes is just as good as getting that quarterback, because it's all about surrounding your team after that.
Yeah. I feel like I say all the time, it's a dependent position. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care who you are, it's still a dependent position. And then there are obviously a few exceptions. Like, Peyton Manning was probably going to make every scenario better. Tom Brady, maybe the same thing. And I think that, you know, there are certain eras of football where you can say, look, Patrick Mahomes, like, he's one of those guys, like, he's making everywhere better. Josh Allen is probably making everywhere better. But the list of guys that you can say, hey, he's going to go there and make everywhere better, is short. And we're living in a pretty good time right now where the list is maybe as long as it's ever been, right? Lamar Jackson, maybe Jaden Daniels at this point. Like, I think it's about as long as it's ever been. But traditionally, it's usually less than five guys that you can say that's the case. So what that means is, like, that next tier is, hey, he's Matt Ryan. Like, he's as good, but, like, he still needs – you know, he still needs Julio Jones or Roddy White or whoever the receiver is, or Tony Gonzalez, whoever you were going to put around him. And then there's that tier that's, you know, below that, where you're like, honestly, man, like, and no matter who you put around him, like, he just can't get it done. Like, I literally think that's what it is. And so, I think if you look through it, if you look at it through that lens, then I think that they get, you know, look, and you can make the argument if Andy Dalton was good enough to win a Super Bowl or whatever. But like, if you look through it, at it through that lens and you say, yeah, look, no, we just need him to be good enough that when surrounded with the best talent, we can win a Super Bowl. And if the guy can do that, then yeah, he is worth drafting at the very top. And that's why I brought up Matt Ryan. Mm-hmm. The Dolphins didn't think he was talented enough at one, so they went Jake Long. And Jake Long was a good player. But, like, the Falcons were better off because they drafted the quarterback at three.
Now, when looking at the Titans, and more than likely, I think, they are probably asking too much, as I told Adam. They're probably asking too much on purpose, knowing that no one will move up to the number one spot. So let's just assume the Titans like Cam Ward enough, they draft him, and off they go. 2 through 10 or 15, how many trades you think then will be made? Because I think that's where the trades are going to come, not necessarily for the number one pick, but anything between that and that first round.
Yeah, I think it's a good observation. Like, I do think there'll be a lot of movement in there. Look, whether it's, you know, moving up because you have a strong feeling on a running back or an edge rusher or a tackle, like, I think the movement there will be significant. So if you're saying like 2 through 12, like how many trades do we see through there? Look, I think we could see 3 or 4 through there. Like, it feels like it would be a lot, but you know, with the rumors on quarterback, the fact that, you know, there are certain positions that, you know, there seem to be a fair amount of depth. And then honestly, a lot of teams that are picking in that range that don't need a quarterback, or you wouldn't think are looking for a quarterback. So people trying to get up into that mix to ensure that they get one, I do think that could happen.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, joining us here on D-Maze, Fingan, and Donnick. By the way, Tim, I hear it's your dad's birthday today.
Big 7-0.
Hey, happy birthday.
That's not an April Fool's joke. Yep, big 7-0.
Happy 70th birthday to Don Hasselbeck.
There we go.
Send our regards.
The architect of it all.
Thank you, Tim. We'll talk next week.
See you, fellas.
Yep.
615-737-1025. We will react to what Tim had to say. We'll also take your reaction as well at 615-737-1025. Later today on 94.9 The Fan, tune in for Vanderbilt baseball as the Commodores host Western Kentucky. Pre-game begins at 5:45 and first pitch is at 6. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. D-Mace, Fingan, and Donnick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. It's time for the 4th annual 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament. Cromwell Media, along with partners Fox 17, Outfront Media, and Social Indoor, are proud to announce we will be back at Hermitage Golf Course on Thursday, May 29th, to make a difference while having a great time. You can join us and a few guests, media members, athletes, and musicians as we raise money for Fold of Honor. Donations will go to provide life-changing scholarships to families of America's fallen or disabled military and first responders. Sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com. During the Tim Hasselbeck segment, Derek, we received a text message from an unnamed texter on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, that said, good quarterbacks are easy to find in the draft and free agency. No need to draft a bottom 10 quarterback as number one. Now, the texter does not clarify if he or she is discussing Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders.
Exactly, bottom 10.
But again, it goes back to the conversation we were having yesterday, and you were talking about it with Tim as well, that the overall perception of this quarterback group, Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, Jalen Milroe, Tyler Shuck, Jackson Dart, it does not stack up to last year's class, headlined by Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams and Drake May. And the question we asked yesterday was, are we underrating Cam Ward because of the discourse surrounding the quarterback class? Because the quarterback class as a whole seems underwhelming, Cam Ward is being dragged down because of his peers, as opposed to rising above the rest. So you were talking about it with Tim. Tim said it well, I thought, that quarterbacks are a dependent position. Now, the best of the best can make chicken salad out of chicken bleep. But most quarterbacks, they need the perfect or close to perfect environment to succeed. So now if you want to question whether the Tennessee Titans have that environment for presumably Cam Ward to succeed, you can certainly question that. But I do, I am starting to wonder if even myself, if I am dragging Cam Ward down because of the perception of the overall quarterback class that, yes, Cam is, I mean, Cam Ward could be indeed worthy of the number one overall pick. Am I bringing him down because the quarterbacks as a whole are underwhelmed?
I do truly believe that that is indeed the case. Because again, I think if Cam Ward having the numbers that he had this year was then thrust, was then put in last year's draft as they were from the beginning. If he was coming out right when those guys were coming out and the process started late early January, right as the bowl games, when teams are finished with their bowl games and majority of the games are just in, you know, college football playoff games with some other, you know, bowl games later here and there. If Cam Ward was put in that draft based upon the numbers he had this year, his play this year, I think there would have been a different talk. We can always, you know, they could say, well, I'm going to grade him now and then compared to the guys last year. I get that. But if he was in that actual draft, because remember, you know, nobody thought J.J. McCarthy, you know, his name started to, you know, really drum up, you know, pick up some steam later in the process. And even with that, people still didn't think he would go that high. He ended up going 10th overall. Michael Penix, people didn't think he would go that high. He ended up going 8th overall. Bo Nix, no one thought that he was going that high. He ended up going 12th overall. So to me, if Cam Ward was in that mix, I think he would have been amongst the top 15 drafted last year. Based upon the class, how many guys were truly in there that were first round worthy, not necessarily top 10 pick worthy, but they were first, early, second round worthy. These guys went early. Why? Because there were a run on quarterbacks and no one wanted to be left out. And there were enough good quarterbacks that you can justify. There's not that many in this draft. There's only one, Cam Ward. And because there's only one, now they're comparing him to the people outside of his position because there's no one close to him in his position. Now we say, well, he's not Abdul Carter. He's not Travis Hunter. He's not this. No, he's not. He has proven himself. Like he told the Titans, I'm about to solidify this thing. He's proven himself. He is head and shoulders above the other guys. But that may be hurting him as well.
615-737-1025. Again, we asked the question, are we underrating Cam Ward because of the discourse surrounding the quarterback class this year versus recent quarterback classes? 615-737-1025. But I want to, coming up next, I want to turn our attention towards Shedeur Sanders. Brian Callahan discussed Shedeur Sanders yesterday at the AFC Coaches Breakfast, which I learned actually involves breakfast, which I was glad to hear about from Teron Davenport. Brian Callahan discussed Shedeur Sanders. Shedeur Sanders Pro Day is coming up in just a couple of days. I do want to get into Shedeur Sanders because I do find him to be the most fascinating prospect in this draft. 615-737-1025. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063. The game.